One.
All right, hello everybody. It's the Wrestling with Billy's podcast. We're talking about WrestleMania XL Night 1 and 2. I think it's 41, right? It's XL, I think.
Right? XL is 40, isn't it?
Oh, is it 40? Oh, whatever. I can't.
Yeah,
I
Roman numeral say, 1 like, would once be behind it, gets it.
Oh, okay. Most of the time, I'm always unsure about like when it gets up. I remember some of the lower numbers, but like, once it gets to a certain,
yeah, they went back now to the Roman numerals.
Which I mean, the way that it's been going, they touted up Triple H in this, or otherwise known as Paul Levesque, since they got rid of Vince, and they especially, mind you, this is like monthly. Or something, right?
Close to a month, but the problem is we like doing these. See, this is the problem. We like doing these after the Raw and SmackDown afterwards, so we see the fallout from WrestleMania, right? But then we got... Well, I think then AEW Dynasty fell right after that.
The next week or the week after that, yeah.
Yeah, it was the week after, so then... And then we got...
Now
just
we
other
got
stuff.
Backlash. Yeah. Just hanging. And mind you, we're doing four other podcasts here. So, like, trying to get the time to do everything while having full-time jobs is fun. But what's it called? Anyway, we're talking about both nights. I figured it would probably be better to talk about both nights rather than just one night. That way, it was like a shorter, condensed episode. But it might run a little bit long for me. So, anyway, it started off with Rhea Ripley going against Becky Lynch, which I was surprised that they even had it as the opening match. I thought it was going to be, like, higher on the card, but it wasn't. It was the opening match.
They like to get the crowd ramped up during WrestleMania. Yeah. So,
well, I understand that.
You know,
that part.
So, I mean, from that standpoint, I can kind of understand, because with the rest of the card, I don't know if any of them would have done what this match did in terms of amping the crowd up.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's mostly because Rhea Ripley, of course, came out to Motionless and White playing them in, which I was hoping that that would happen. There was also another one that I was wondering if they were going to do. It was for night two. Was going to be that way. Was that they were going to? I was hearing that Downstate, the people that did Cody Rhodes' theme song, was possibly going to play him in for his entrance. Turns out that didn't happen. I don't know if it's just like just things didn't work out.
Well, either night didn't happen, so we'll just say that for both nights, since we're combining these, that the tag team match that happened on night one that we'll talk about at the end of the at the end of night one's part, about halfway through the podcast, and then the final match of both nights when he faced off against Roman, neither one did they have.
I was surprised. I didn't think it was going to happen during the tag team match, but like the main one with him coming out to the ring, I was surprised that they didn't. Because, I mean, you know, they do the grandiose stuff, like, on WrestleMania. They sometimes do it on the other pay-per-views, but most of the stuff, they usually make the huge entrances and stuff like that for WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
That's one reason why. And especially, I don't know if she actually got injured in this match, but Rhea Ripley, since... we're filming this now. Like, she since vacated the title because she has a shoulder injury, and hopefully she comes back rather soon. But it was reported that she possibly injured it during this match, but I don't know. It could have been during the Liv Morgan part.
I think it was during the Liv Morgan part when she was thrown into the wall.
Oh, okay.
It was like a mishap. It wasn't on purpose, but you could almost tell when it happened. So either she did get injured during this match and that aggravated it when she got thrown into the and made it worse, or it happened at that point. So,
which I was so intrigued with what they were doing with Liv Morgan afterwards, how she came out and beat her up.
Well, the revenge tour, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like they were trying to do kind of like a double turn, probably because of based on around how she was cheered during this match. So I don't know if they were thinking that the whole time. But
you're talking about during the. See, like you might be talking during the.
Well, I mean, now since
because they had that. Well,
it sounded like people are turning on Liv Morgan. So, like,
well, yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. They had, so what happened was Rhea Ripley, after this, the fallout, and that's why I said doing this at this point, we can kind of talk about it. But Rhea Ripley won this match against Becky Lynch, so she retained the title. But then on the Raw following, Liv Morgan attacked her. Well, then the Raw following that, she relinquished the belt because she got injured. Well, yeah. Then on the Raw following that, they had a world championship
gauntlet match
where whoever won the match won the title. And
then Liv Morgan was second place again.
Yeah,
which to Becky Lynch. Too many times.
To Becky Lynch. And then, so Becky Lynch won the title again. So now she's the current champ.
Like anybody that's hating on Becky Lynch winning the title again and thinking that she's getting treatment, like you, like obviously she wasn't really because she wasn't having the championship for a while. Like granted, she got the NXT belt for a time, but like she was not in the title picture for a while up until WrestleMania. So like, and I kind of understand the reason why they dropped it to Becky, too, because they probably wanted to have a certain story to tell with Liv right now, with the revenge tour and stuff like that, and Becky could fit into that at one point, too, knowing that she cost her the title again, or, like, you know, like, because the past, like, I think it's the past... three Rumble matches where it's like getting knocked over the top rope. She's made it to second to last place and got knocked out each time. Morgan, and then I can't remember who else, like once with Becky Lynch and stuff, but yeah.
But I mean, the other thing is they keep including Nia Jax and all this crap, and she keeps no-selling stuff. Yeah. I sent a video to you guys about what happened on the Raw last week Liv Morgan faced off against Nia Jax, and Nia did not sell a move at all.
Yeah, Liv Morgan's move, the Oblivion, I think it's just called Oblivion, but... it's literally kind of like a downward spiral move where she jumps off the top, bounces off the top rope or middle rope and then just slams her down on her head. Like, Nia Jax didn't sell at all. Like, it's like, as soon as she took it, she just fell, like, she didn't even really fall on her face. And I was surprised that Nia Jax took the pinfall clean off of that too.
Yeah. So in retrospect, that's the only thing about this match at WrestleMania. It kind of, because of the injury, the match really didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because I mean, with the way the storyline has had to come out, Becky Lynch basically won anyways. So it's like, you know, and then it's like, looking at the card for Backlash, Becky Lynch isn't even on it. So, it's like she got the title, and I guess she gets a month and a half before she even has to defend it.
She's not even wrestling on the pay-per-view?
No. So the women, it's Bayley in a triple threat, I think, against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. And then the women's tag team belt, it's the Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
Yeah, so that means the Kabuki Warriors are probably losing it.
Yeah, and then, so that's the women's belts, and then we'll talk about the other stuff later since we'll be discussing other happenings. Yeah. But that's basically what's happened at this point. So if that tells you anything, what we'll be talking about, I think it was on night two, we'll talk about that result near the end of the podcast. But I mean, there wasn't anything special from my opinion. This entire pay-per-view, I'll say, was the best WrestleMania we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think the last one that I really liked was, like, I think it might have been 38, I think, was the last one that I liked.
And keep in mind, I've gone to, out of the last few, I've been to two or three of them.
Yeah, you've been to at least three, I think, because the one that was in Hollywood, you were.
Yeah.
And I think that was last year's, right?
And I was going to wear that shirt, but I'm wearing the Seattle 316 Austin shirt that they basically, they do an Austin shirt in every city they go to. So I'm wearing that today. but yeah, I mean, from that perspective, this was a good match. It went 17 minutes and 5 seconds. So it was the third longest match. Of night one, most of them were over 10 minutes long. There was only one that was under 10 minutes. But I guess we could talk about do you have anything else to say on
no, the first pretty one? Much. Then the tag team match, the six pack tag team ladder match for the tag team championships, which I liked how they split them. So, like, we were wondering if that's what they were going to do at the pay-per-view or not. Man, I swear.
Yeah, I found it nice. Don't worry about your cat. But yeah. I found it interesting. We were thinking at first that, oh, crap, they're the undisputed tag team championships, right? And both titles were being retrieved in the same match, which I thought was an interesting, you know, thing. We were hoping, especially with the way the result was at first, we were hoping because A-Town Down Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, won the first, retrieved the first belts. We were hoping that they would not retrieve both because I found that result very weird that they won one of the belts. Yeah, I thought
it was so quick that, like, I didn't expect it, like, it was 17 minutes, and they probably won the titles within, like, 8 or 9 minutes, probably. Mm-hmm. I'm basing it around. Like, because it was kind of – it came out of nowhere. It was weird because I was vibing off of, like, the whole match. Because I love DIY, New Day, New Catch Republic. I don't really care so much about their name. But, like, A-Town Down Under, I definitely didn't see them winning the belts at all. And I think – I'm wondering if they – like, the only person that I figured was going to win one of the belts is Awesome Truth. So, knowing that they were the other ones that they picked, I was like, oh, well, it probably makes sense because I think there was only New Catch Republic, I think, are the only ones that are on SmackDown, I think. So, like, it's either them or, like, Austin Theory and shit, but, like, I would have much rather seen Pete Dunne and them and Tyler Bate win, but still.
Well, or DIY. I mean,
especially because they came out with their Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, DX because it was entrance. Who was in the match was A-Town Down Under, Awesome Truth, The Judgment Day, which, again, this result kind of told me what was going to happen later on.
Oh, and then, yeah.
DIY, The New Day, and New Catch Republic, like Josh said, those were the teams that were in it. So looking at that, I wouldn't have wanted A-Town Down Under to win.
Yeah.
Now, Awesome Truth, I have really liked what R-Truth has been doing for, well, actually his whole career, really. I think that, you know, he makes these wrestlers break, and he's off the cuff with everything he does. It's, you know, so it's like...
Yeah, I definitely I don't think that they give him a script when he comes out there. I think they
either because then, as many people that he's broke during his promos and stuff, I don't think that he's told what to say. And I don't know if right now really they're as scripted as they used to be under Vince either. No. I think they're giving more rein.
Yeah, I think they were like a lot of this stuff than Vince was doing before. I think he's relaxed on since that he's been gone, and I think that's why kind of during this whole pay-per-view they were touting it to be the Paul Levesque era and
Well,
stuff like
everybody
that.
was, yeah.
And
And the
like,
interesting part, one of the fallouts is Stephanie McMahon is definitely involved again. Because
yeah,
she's been
because.
on TV multiple times now, because they've done the WWE draft again. And she came out and announced some of the draft picks, which, again, that's one thing I will say as part of this, is the WWE draft needs to start meaning something, because right now they're doing the draft and not really changing anything. They're
They make
using the
them
draft
like,
almost as a call up from NXT now, is what
yeah,
I'm seeing,
essentially, yeah.
more than people changing brands, because they don't change the champions. They are where they stay.
Oh, let's say too,
And
know that we're on the tag team match too. The new titles that they unveiled, like I like how I love the SmackDown ones a lot more than I like the Raw ones. Mostly because the Raw ones just look like a tag team version of the World Heavyweight Championship, but the SmackDown ones look like the OG, like 1990s ish. Or probably like 2000s title belt that
Yeah, I'm
were
listening. Don't worry about
on
Josh. My
that was on
headphones, I'm getting
SmackDown
an
or
air
something.
a message that they're getting low. That's what I'm doing over here
Oh, nice.
is
I'm like, come on, they're low, they're turning off.
unwrapping my cable that was.
So
Hold
yeah,
on.
like so I definitely like those titles a lot more. Now, because I mean, I'm one of the only fans probably of those old Sparta belts. That's what I consider them to be. They're like supposed to look like the old Spartan type shit with the helmets and everything. So I call them the Sparta belts a lot of the time. So,
Well, it
like,
doesn't surprise me with the new era that they're going to be changing the belts
yeah, they're
out,
gonna
because
change, yeah, because they
I'm
want
honestly
to change
surprised that
everything.
Cody hasn't changed his.
Oh
As
yeah, he wants to do the winged eagle.
yeah,
So like,
as much as he's talked about it, he
yeah.
hasn't done it yet, which is kind
Well, I
of
mean,
surprising.
he probably
But
won't. He probably hasn't gotten authority to be able to do it yet. I don't know, or
yeah, in
he's
terms
waiting for
of the
something.
second match, I think the only thing I would have liked to have seen was DIY or
Oh yeah,
one
DIY
of
or New
them to
Catch
win.
Republic to
Yeah.
win instead.
Not A Town Down Under. I think that's just because they're a heel and they wanted a heel faction. Because they ended up within the draft, Awesome Truth is on SmackDown or Raw, and A Town Down Under is on SmackDown. So you knew what was going to happen with this result, especially when they announced the draft, what was going to happen with those guys.
Oh yeah, how the
They were going to
champions are
keep them
protected.
separate. Well, that's what I'm saying, that they wanted the championships on each brand. So you knew Becky was staying on Raw and the other championship was going to SmackDown. So Bayley would be on SmackDown still, and Rhea or whoever had the title, the other title would be on
Yeah, I
Raw.
kind
And
of
that's
liked
ex
how
so
they put it that way, how they're like champions are protected, so they stay on their friends. That's a nice way
But
of
with
putting
that
it
being
that way.
said, though, you knew that what was going to happen. Like
Oh
within the
yeah.
draft, when they were draft eligible, that they weren't going to move brands,
Oh
right?
yeah.
So, like I said, what I saw with the draft results is that this was used to bring up the NXT people they wanted to bring up. So, like Braun Breaker went to Raw, Lyra Valkyrie went, I think, to SmackDown, I
Which
think.
I was surprised that they pulled her up as fast
But
as they
Blair
did.
Davenport got pulled up too, and
Yeah, it's her too, because I
what is
was
it?
wondering what they were doing. And then Ilya Dragunov went
Yeah,
up to Raw,
went to
which I'm
Raw, and
like,
then
ooh, that's gonna be really good with Gunther versus Ilya again on the main
yeah. So,
roster. That'd be great.
I mean,
So.
that's just talking the fallout and what's happened going into Backlash. So we're kind of combining it all here. But again, that match went 17 minutes and 25 seconds. There wasn't anything crazy special that happened in the match. It was a
Yeah,
good match, but it
it was
wasn't
just a
like,
regular tag team
yeah.
match. And that's kind of how the next match was too. Like, both of them were just like, okay. Like,
well, yeah, it was Rey Mysterio and Andrade against Santos Escobar.
I guess he got injured, but still.
Yeah, against Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom, or Dominic Mysterio, which again, and you know, I think you were talking about during WrestleMania why he's not with Legado.
Oh yeah,
Del Fantasma.
Supposedly redid it. They just had. I don't think that they have Joaquin Wilde and the other guy's name in it. They just put Angel Garza and them in there. I guess whatever team Santos Escobar does, that's the name of the team, is Legado del Fantasma. Which, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, I think the LWO has ran its course now and they can't really do anything else.
Well, especially now, because that's one thing I thought would happen. I mentioned it during WrestleMania, is I thought Carlito would turn during this.
Yeah, and they've been talking about that.
But he's turned
the one who hurt Dragon Lee and stuff. Oh, so now
he's turned since. Yeah, he turned a couple SmackDowns ago, I think. But yeah, I mean, the crazy part, and the other thing when I look at the Backlash card, and I'm thinking what Backlash used to be, and it used to be called WrestleMania Backlash. Now it's just called Backlash.
Yeah.
But I would always expect, and looking at the card, I would expect it to be Backlash from WrestleMania, right? But none of the matches on the card have anything to do with it. I would expect it to be rematches. Or like Damian Priest. Obviously, the Backlash right now, to me, would have been Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre at Backlash.
Yeah.
Because McIntyre, well, we'll get to it, but that's actually on night two, so we'll wait a little bit to talk about it. But that's one match I would expect to have happened. Cody Rhodes, you honestly would think it would be something Backlash related, right? Or not Backlash related, Bloodline related. But he's facing off against AJ Styles.
It's like, I'm surprised with what's it called? With the Intercontinental belt, too. Like, it's weird.
Well, But yeah, I mean, somewhat I can see the one of the matches on the card making sense because of what has happened since WrestleMania. But most of these, it's like, again, we talk about it during the AEW stuff, that it's like stuff just pops up out of the blue, and that's what it seems like this Backlash card is doing.
Yeah.
When we talk about all the matches that we're going through right now, like Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom, Rey Mysterio and Andrade won, but there really hasn't been much that has happened since
WrestleMania for these guys. I thought that like how they were going to do it with Santos and Dirty Dom were going to win because I thought that they needed it. Like, especially Dominic from last year's WrestleMania, I thought that he was going to win just because he didn't win last year. And then that didn't happen. So it's like, okay, what was the point of having the match then? I just didn't understand. Well,
especially when you look at what's happened since, they haven't done anything. So then it's like the next match, right? And I don't really have much to say about the Rey Mysterio one, to be all honest with you, because it was just a normal match. It only went 11 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's not like there was a lot of time for them to do a whole hell of a lot of wrestling anyways between four people, right? And the next match didn't go very long either. And honestly, I don't remember much of it, which is unfortunate because the fourth match was Jey Uso against his brother Jimmy.
I mean, I don't think they gave it enough time.
Well, it was only 11 minutes. That's why I said this whole middle section was very strange because you had two longer matches, then three shorter ones, and then two longer ones with one taking up a good chunk of the night.
Which didn't need to fucking take up that much time.
No, and I think you could tell that stuff happened it would have been all way better if other people would have been part of it. But we'll talk about that when we get to the match. Oh, but like Jey Uso and Jimmy, honestly, watching the night one, I don't remember that match that much. Well, and it's unfortunate because of all the stuff, all the stuff going on between the two of them, this one should have been the match that I remembered. And I honestly don't remember much at all from it. I think part of it, like you said, is it only went 11 minutes and 5 seconds.
Well, I mean, I remember the whole match, and they had, like, the conflicted stuff with Jey, with Jimmy. I think Jimmy was missing, like, I think Jay's the better wrestler out of between both of them now. I think he's the better storyteller. He could emote better. Not saying anything bad against Jimmy, because I think still Jimmy's pretty good. But, like, I think if anybody's the Jannetty out of the group, it has to be Jimmy now. Like, to me personally, just because I'm watching the move
by far, but
this match, like, there was moments where they were super kicking each other and this and that. And then at one point you see Jey super kicking. He super kicked Jimmy like 4 or 5 times in the face. Then he sat there and he's like, "You wanted this." And he's emoting to him. He's like, "You wanted this, not me." Mm-hmm. and like, you could see that he was conflicted the whole time. And that's one thing I loved about it. But to me, it was just over too quickly. I think they were trying to, like, if they had like another 5 minutes or even 2 or 3 minutes more, where it just built up more of the match, then I think it would have been a lot better. But like, it was too slow in the beginning, because Jimmy was fucking around trying to fucking get his goat or whatever. So it took a little bit for them to, it's like, okay, it was like they had a beginning and an end, but they didn't have a middle spot. That's what I think that's why having no time, not enough time on it.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough time to build up the sequence between each other and shit.
And especially with how long the storyline was, they deserved more than 11 minutes and 5 seconds.
I legit wouldn't have minded if the LWO match wasn't on the card, and it would have been on the pre-show, and them give them like 20 or so minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
It would have been a lot better match, and might I say, like, Dave Meltzer, I'm getting tired of his star ratings, because, like, he gave this thing not even a star on his rankings. And I'm like, dude, it was better than that. Like, okay, I've seen some shit matches before, and it was not 0.75 of a star. It was not that bad. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I liked it. I think that if they gave it more time, it would have been a better wrestling match. And I think that's what hurt. Well,
and like I was saying, you know, then we can go into Backlash, right? So the fallout since. So Tama Tonga has now joined the Bloodline. So as part of the fallout from WrestleMania and Roman losing, Solo Sikoa then attacked Jimmy on SmackDown, and Tama Tonga has become part of the Bloodline, essentially replacing Jimmy. But when you look at who's fighting at Backlash, it's Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, and Tama Tonga against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens makes sense, like I said, because part of the fallout was Tonga attacked Kevin Owens and made him and bloodied him during a SmackDown. He makes sense, but why isn't Jimmy in there with Kevin Owens instead of Randy Orton? I mean, the backlash to me with the fallout would be Jimmy Uso is with Kevin Owens against them.
Yeah. Especially because that would have to be like a turn for him.
So during Backlash,
yeah,
rest assured, Jimmy's going to show up during this match.
I don't think that Solo and Thomas should lose. So if Jimmy shows up, then Solo and them are losing, I don't think. Unless they have somebody else show up too.
But why would the Bloodline win it? Anyways, we'll talk about that. Hopefully, I mean,
Well,
we'll talk about that later,
the
but I just
way
don't.
that I'm wondering about this is that if they're doing the Bloodline Civil War, like for real, like what they're gonna do, they're gonna tell it like kind of like the NWO Wolfpack and the white and black version of NWO, or like OG
Where you're going to
NWO,
have Roman's
where
version
it's
of the
gonna be
Bloodline versus
Roman.
Solo's?
I would assume that it would be Roman, Jimmy, and Jay. And then, because there's talks that Jacob Fatu, that was in MLW for the longest time, and they kind of like held him there for a while, is possibly coming to WWE. So, like, it would be Solo, Tama Tonga, and then Jacob Fatu, probably, more than likely, and taking over. But, I mean, they could do like anybody. They could get Tangaloa back and then do a Gorillas of Destiny thing with Tama Tonga or whatever. But I like kind of like what they're doing with Tama Tonga, where he's just like beating the shit out of people. I really like that. But like they need to
Well, yeah,
give
I get
wins to
that, but it's
Solo though.
like,
But
but I don't know where the story's going
yeah, that's the
with
thing.
that.
I don't know exactly what they're doing,
Because
but
not
like.
having the leaders, like, I assume The Rock and Roman are going to be involved at some point
Yeah,
in relation
that's
to
what
it,
I'm thinking that this
but.
is what's building up to Brock versus Roman. Like it's gonna be like Solo is working with Rock, like essentially, like doing exactly what Rock wants him to do, and then he'll be like, "You lost the belt. You're not the head of the table anymore." That type of thing. That's what I'm thinking that they're going for. Doesn't mean that that's what's actually gonna happen, but
Until they do it,
like,
I don't know. I mean, because I don't, that's the thing. When you look at this card, it just doesn't make much sense. But I mean, it's so, I mean, and I'm talking about Backlash, because I would envision the pay-per-view after WrestleMania would be related to WrestleMania, and this card really isn't, at all. And so, like, the next match, I think, was Jade
This is,
Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi against Damage Control, and you
yeah,
kind of
and this
knew.
is like, you
Well,
already knew that they were losing. Like,
well,
Jade
Jade
Cargill is
Cargill's
not
first
losing.
match, she's not going
Yeah,
to lose it.
there ain't no way she's losing. So, and then people have been shitting on Jade Cargill too. She's like, oh, they trained her still, and then she still does the same shit. I'm like, name one wrestler that comes from a different, fact a like roster somewhere like AEW or TNA or whatever that doesn't use the same moves. If that's
But to be honest with you, Josh, I get that critique because I would think after not after bringing her out at in at Royal Rumble and not really debuting her for another 4 months, when she debuted during this match and what I've seen of her since, she looks just like she did at AEW to me.
Well,
There
I agree. I don't think
I
she's
don't
gonna get
see
that
any
much better.
I don't
Like,
see any
honestly.
progression at this point. I see her being at looking as green as she did in AEW that we always talked about
I
when she was
agree. I
there.
don't think she's gonna get
And
that much better than she is right now.
but is it right if you want to keep her face right now to team her with Bianca? Yes, it is. It's this is the perfect person to team her with because you can't these and that's what I was saying when they won this match. The this was the only one I feel that was maybe related to that one. The only one on the Backlash card that could be tied to WrestleMania is the Kabuki Warriors against Bianca and Jade. It's the only one on the card that ties somewhat to what WrestleMania did because Damage Control was partly Kabuki Warriors with Dakota Kai. So I mean this was the only match that I can make that comparison to. And knowing that, like you said at the beginning when we were talking about it, Kabuki Warriors are losing.
There ain't no way that they're gonna hold the titles, especially how they've been doing damage control. They've been having them fucking lose constantly since they made it, and were a team or like a faction, you know? Like, so, like, you're not surprised when these people keep losing all the damn time.
Yeah.
Like,
And
the one that I would say, are you mentioning anything else from this match or no?
well, it was only 8 minutes and 5 seconds. There
Well,
wasn't
that's what I'm
much to
saying. It
it.
wasn't
So.
much. It was mostly, hey, they're going to beat up on all the other people, and then Jade's going to come in and squash somebody. And that's pretty much what happened. So,
Yeah, and I feel the of night one, the best match of the card is the ne was the next one.
yes, I agree. Actually, probably
It
possibility
might
of
be one
one of
of the
my
best
favorites out of the whole
all,
like
yeah.
pay-per-view. Like, mostly because I love Sami Zayn, and I've talked about this before. Like, I think the best, like, peak Sami Zayn is underdog Sami Zayn. I think that's the best version of him, like, no matter what it has been. I think everybody could get behind him, no matter what it is. And especially the way that they built this shit up, where, like, his family was in the crowd and everything. Or, like, his wife and his kid were in the crowd. And then, especially with, like, you knew that Gunther was going to lose it at one point, and you were just, like, to me, I was just, like, I had a feeling they were going to drop it to Sammy
Well,
for it, but
especially
I
when they
was
involve,
hoping
well,
that they did.
especially, well, yeah, especially when they involve Chad Gable.
Yeah, especially when they did that.
And see, that's another thing. Like we talked about, and again, backlash, right? So we can say right now, Sami Zayn won the match. He defeated Gunther, so now he's the new Intercontinental Champ. Well, then afterwards, Chad Gable turned.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about at WrestleMania. He turned later, but he turned on Sammy, right? So it's like, why isn't that a match at Backlash? Like Chad Gable versus Sammy. Sammy's
Oh,
not
so
even on the
that's not
card.
even on the card?
No,
What?
it's not.
Hold on, what? That's
No.
weird.
Yeah,
So
it's
he's not even on the
mm-mm.
card at all?
Nope.
What in the
According to
hell?
what I'm looking at, he's not on the card at all.
That is
So,
weird. That is just very weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was like, okay, that doesn't make sense. That's a perfect match to have. It's like, what are you gonna wait until SummerSlam so you have a built-up card? That's what I think
Yeah,
sometimes they're doing, but
that's the
they
only
don't want to
thing
do
that I would
too
think
much
of,
too
yeah.
fast. It's the same thing with Drew McIntyre. They're like still building that up, but it's almost like they're still building the Drew versus CM Punk thing. But I don't even know how long CM Punk's gonna be out with his tricep tear. I mean, so it's
No.
like, but I don't know. But I would think at least an interim would have been for him to face Damian Priest. But anyways, we'll
Yeah,
talk
I
about that
agree.
in a couple of matches. But the Sami Zayn match went 15 minutes and 30 seconds. So like I was saying, the three matches in between this one went a total of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Three matches. And this one went 15.
Yeah.
But then the last one on the card goes three times the
Yeah,
amount that
it
this one
goes
went.
45 minutes, or
Yeah, so
just
it's
under
like,
45 minutes. It's
so
like, did I need to see it to
given
be
we
that
talked
long?
about this when
No.
we watched this, though, the entrances take 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like when Roman comes out, it takes him 10, 15 minutes just to get to the ring. So, I mean, I don't know if that's part of the 44 minutes. I would venture to say it probably isn't. But because
No,
this
I
match
think they
did go
do it
on,
from
but there
when.
was a good chunk at the end of that match, and I'm not skipping over the Gunther match. I don't know if you wanted to say more about that one,
No, no.
but the Bloodline faced off against Cody Rhodes. The Bloodline being The Rock and Roman faced off against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and this was all stemming from the kickoff for WrestleMania, where The Rock slapped Cody and Seth stepped in to kind of defend him. This continued through to WrestleMania. And again, knowing we knew we called this, I think we talked about it on a previous podcast that we may not have, but I know we've discussed it
I'm pretty
in
sure we did.
outside of it,
Yeah.
but that we knew the Bloodline was going to win this match because we would have to put some kind of onus on Cody on night two when he
Yep.
faced off against Roman, that it wouldn't be just him and Roman. And, but yeah, so we knew that The Rock and Roman would win this match, and then they would be under bloodline rules, which was essentially no DQ on night two, because you knew they would not bar all of the bloodline on night two, because it would not allow for what ended up happening to happen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I agree. That's why also at the same time, I wasn't really invested in this one. I mean, to be honest, I think these matches were better than when Brock went against Cena, both times.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got more into like how his old style was for these matches than he did with Brock versus Cena, because I think he just overall looked better, and he reminded me of when he was in the Attitude Era. Like, The Rock versus Cena, like, wasn't so much. It looked like he was missing a step or whatever, but, like, this one, it felt like he was just back to doing what he was doing before.
And I feel they're going to be moving more towards that, because, like I was talking about before, when they signed the Netflix deal for Raw to go to Netflix in 2025, that's adding so much that they can do on the show. Because they don't necessarily have to be PG anymore, at least on Raw. I mean, with SmackDown being on, what is it? I think they announced, was it?
I don't know.
USA, right? Something. They're moving to USA, I think, right?
I don't know. I didn't see.
I think NXT is going to CW, and SmackDown.
CW is still even around?
And then SmackDown, I believe, was moving to USA Network. From Fox.
Jeez.
So you know that one's still, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But I know it's moving away from Fox.
Surprised a little
almost
bit.
Almost positive it.
It's just kind of weird why they would go to Netflix and then they wouldn't do.
Yeah. Five year agreement. Where Friday Night SmackDown will move back to USA Network beginning October of this year.
Hmm.
So that's what I thought. And then,
I mean, at least now I'll be able to watch fucking Raw probably if I wanted to.
Well, like,
on Netflix.
But it opens up so much, and even Paul Levesque or Triple H has talked about that Netflix will want. So don't be surprised in 5 years when that agreement's up. That Netflix doesn't try to poach SmackDown and all the PLEs.
I'm sure because if they're getting enough people to buy Netflix just off of watching Raw.
You talk about someone who already has the infrastructure in place, and a good one is Netflix. I mean, geez. And they're going to watch it. This is like a test run for Netflix, right? They're going to see how much traffic they get from Raw.
If they get a lot of traffic,
if they get
Raw,
a ton,
they'll just try
they're going
to
go after SmackDown. Yeah, they'll go after SmackDown, and they'll go after all the PLEs from Peacock. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and Netflix has that infrastructure in place, so it could just, and that could change like the overall show for WWE. Like, they can have SmackDown be the PG show and have Raw be more of a Raw show, hence the name, right? I always wondered that. You know, the show was called Raw, but you would think it would be more raunchy compared to...
Well, whenever they say Raw...
But anyways...
it's Raw.
From night one perspective, and that's what I was saying, this one was kind of the setup for night two. Like this match. So there wasn't much to be seen in terms of fallout for the Raw and SmackDown following
from
this
match. Yeah, to me, I didn't really care about whatever they were doing in this match so much.
This you knew it was just setting up for what night two would look like.
I've just gotten so tired of Roman shit anyway. So like, whenever I see any of the matches, I'm like, I can't get into them. Like, at all. It kind of reminds me of OG, like, Cena shit. At one point, I got real tired of seeing Cena matches. It's mostly because they always fit the same formula. Whenever you're a top guy in WWE, it seems like they like you to do the same shit over and over again. And then the stories to go kind of like retell the same matches in the same story and stuff like that. And it gets real annoying. They did it with Cena. They did it with Orton. They did it with, like, literally anybody else, like, they've done it with. So it just gets real annoying. So, like, I just, so I was ready to get to night two. So, like.
Yeah, and so, yeah, with night two being said, the very first match was Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins. Which,
and this was fun, but it was actually kind of reminded me of, like, a Brock Lesnar match.
Well, like, again, it went.
Beat the shit out of Seth.
Yeah, it was pretty much, and this is where I was saying that you, going in, because Seth had faced off the night before, and they were starting off night two, you kind of knew exactly what was going to happen. That's the unfortunate part. What happened was what me and Josh, I think, both wanted to happen.
Yeah.
But I would have, the only problem was, is I didn't want to see Drew ultimately lose. But
yeah,
Drew McIntyre defeated Seth Rollins, but then Damian Priest turned around right after this.
Yeah, mostly
and cashed in because Drew McIntyre was so focused on CM Punk and CM Punk attacked and
talking
Drew.
Shit to him like the whole time, and then eventually CM Punk.
So that entire cycle made perfect sense because of how they were going back and forth, not only on the show, but on social media too. The trolling that Drew McIntyre has been doing of CM Punk is utterly brilliant. I mean, the shirts he's been wearing, where it's been about CM Punk, stuff like he's been writing about CM Punk.
It's like CM Punk's WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. So it's like that whole storyline was perfect. But knowing that, it was like, oh, fuck, Damian Priest is going to cash in.
Oh,
and that's exactly happened. And so, but going with that, that whole thing went 10 minutes and 39 seconds. That whole thing. So I don't know if it was given enough time to go through all that. But secondly, WrestleMania Backlash, because of what happened here, or not WrestleMania Backlash, but that's what it used to be called. Backlash should have been Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. And when I look at the card, it's Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. And I'm like, what the shit?
I'm surprised, but like also at the same time, I am wondering if they're gonna pull some shit during this fucking during Backlash, because setting up the main event at one point, Damian Priest is talking shit to Jey Uso, like how he respects him in main event, blah blah blah, and he's like, and then talking about how they knew at one point they were going to be it at one point, the future.
But facing each other right away?
Yeah, I mean, I thought just it was don't weird know. How they did it right
it's,
away. But
it's like
the one thing that intrigued me, though, was that he was talking in his promo. He was like, oh, you're just going to be the first one they're going to feed me until somebody else. And I sat there and was like, oh shit, are they gonna pull a Jey Uso's gonna beat him during his first match? Like, first title defense, Jey Uso's gonna beat him and win the title? And to me, I would be super psyched for that because they don't ever do that. I'm like, the only person that I've ever seen them do it on was Sasha Banks. Really, that's the only person
that
I've
Sasha
seen them
was
pull
almost
on.
Right. It was the next night.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like,
that's the only person I've seen them do
that. And that's
that.
Why if I was Sasha, I'm not surprised she left. As much shit as they did to her, like in her, I watch it because I'm like, I always talked about how I felt she was one of the, and I hear a lot of people online that don't agree with what I'm saying, but I feel that she was one of the best wrestlers that WWE had. I don't feel she's the best talker on the mic. I never have thought she's one of the best promo people. But I don't know if there's a great promo person, female. I don't know if there's any females that are great on the mic. Yeah, I find some of them are okay, but I don't feel that any of them are like great on the mic. They all seem kind of awkward. She's the best one, I would say.
Yeah, I think she's the best one. But like, I mean, some people were shitting on Liv Morgan's last like promo, and I was like, dude, I've heard Natalya cut a promo, and she was way worse.
Most of them are like that.
That's where she.
I always talked about Charlotte, and I'm very critical of Charlotte. I think she's been pushed way too often. But her promo, she's very slow when she talks.
Yeah,
I don't know if. And then Becky, I think because of her accent, I think it impacts her promos slightly.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, then, if you would consider Asuka one, but I mean, like,
Asuka can't speak English.
Japanese. Yeah.
So that's why I always think her and Shinsuke, the best, they should be heels and they should cut their promos in Japanese or whatever. I think the best Shinsuke promos were the ones where he was speaking in Japanese only and they were doing the comic book shit.
Yeah.
Why they ever stopped that, I think they should continue that. That should be
a... They haven't done shit with Shinsuke in a while.
No, and I think like, part of that's the language barrier. I think it's difficult for these guys to be main event people because of the language barrier. The fact that they can't speak to you and me very easily. And that's why I said a heel is perfect for them because you don't have to speak English. Like when Rusev was in there speaking Romanian or Bulgarian when he would talk and he wasn't speaking English, that was great. I think that's the best. When you have the ability to do that, I think it's the best thing you should do as a heel. But the problem is when you have broken English when you talk and they want you to be a face, it's not going to go over well.
Yep.
Like, and then even if you're a face, you have to have great promo skills or it's not going to go over either. That's why you see most of the best faces are good at cutting promos.
Yeah.
There haven't been a lot that are champs and have long reigns. Like Roman wouldn't have been if he didn't start getting better at his fucking promos.
Yeah.
Like when he started the suffering succotash stuff, that was when it was kind of waning. When he went to heel and he started cutting the I'm better than you, acknowledge me. When he started just, I think, speaking more how he is in general, that's when it started to go over better. And that's when his promos skyrocketed for me. And I've never been a Roman guy, but I can tell you his promos are way better now than they were 2 years
definitely.
Ago.
Well, I mean, he's talked about that on Logan Paul's podcast. He was just towing the line and shit. He didn't want to, like, he was just doing what they told him to do, and then now it's like he had a certain level where he doesn't have to do that anymore.
From that standpoint, we can move on to the next match. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about regarding.
I want to just talk about both because I kind of didn't really care about both of these matches. They were all right.
Well, not only that, like LA Knight and AJ Styles was almost identical for me for the Jimmy match in night one. Yeah, I don't remember it at all. Yeah. I'm like, even right now, I don't remember what happened during that match. I can't even call out a specific thing that happened during that match.
Yeah, like I don't remember it. I just know that he countered.
But this goes back to saying, and I'll just... Yeah, I'll just say this, though.
Same with the Pride one. The Pride one was just a regular match that they would have.
Well, it was the Pride. It was Bobby Lashley and Street Profits.
And then Bubba Ray Dudley came out as special guest referee. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a little pop for people.
Well, yeah, against the Final Testament, which is basically Authors of Pain and Karrion Kross.
Yeah, and I love Authors of Pain. They should have just kept them in Authors of Pain. But, of course, they got to change it. But
with that, the Pride one, at least Bobby Lashley was on the card. But this is the year it's like, why was he on the card? Last year made more sense for him to be on the card than this year did.
Yeah.
Like, going into WrestleMania, there wasn't really a storyline for either one of them. It was kind of pulled up near the end. It's like they had to fill the card. And then they did this Philadelphia street fight that lasted 8 minutes and 35 because seconds.
I don't think they said it was a street fight at first. I think it was just a regular match. And then they said that it was a Philadelphia street fight.
Yeah, afterwards. But it was like they won the match, but it was like, why was it even on the card? Because then after now you don't even see them. They're not on the Backlash card. So it's like, what was the point of them being here? This tells you it was just filler. And that's what drives me nuts with some of these.
Hey, like, that's why I say it's good for them to be featured, but do something where you could tell a story between them. Well,
last year they had a storyline going into WrestleMania with Bobby Lashley, and they did nothing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was like, what? And then, the next match went 12 minutes and 25 seconds between LA Knight and AJ Styles. But this is where
that was the least favorite one that I really cared to watch. Again, anyway,
like I said, I don't
LA Knight was going to win.
Yeah, but I don't recall it. But at the same time, LA Knight won. So then you turn around and look at WrestleMania Backlash, and who is facing Cody Rhodes for the title? AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, he lost to LA Knight, and then he gets a title shot at the next premium live event?
Yeah.
Why? And it's like, I get your AJ Styles, but at the same time, what was the reasoning for it? It's like, just because he wanted a match, just because he felt he was the next person in line, he's not, because he lost to LA Knight. If anyone deserved the next title shot, it would be LA Knight.
But
I mean,
but they didn't want to like have him lose to Cody though. Like, you know, typical heel versus babyface stuff and whatever else. But still, yes, I get.
No, but I mean, out of all there's other people that could have faced off against Cody Rhodes. It could have been Jimmy Uso, for crying out loud. It could have been someone tied into the Bloodline
if they wanted to.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It could have been anybody tied into the Bloodline or something, because that's who he just got done facing. And that's why I was like, with the Bloodline or with WrestleMania, to me, the inherent name with Backlash is that it's Backlash for what happened after WrestleMania, either at WrestleMania or after, but related to it. And in these cases, it isn't. And again, this went 12 minutes and 25 seconds. And then the next match was Logan Paul.
I'm dumbfounded knowing they fucking had him win again.
Yeah, against KO Randy Orton.
Kevin Owens was hilarious in this match, though.
Oh, he was,
I loved how they both beat the shit out of Logan Paul, and then at one point, they start doing something, and he's like, yeah, you want to get him? And Kevin Owens starts walking away, and then Randy Orton tries to RKO him, and he's like, really, you want to do this now?
Yeah, I know,
I love the fourth wall breaking that Kevin Owens has been doing lately, where he's just like, don't we do this too much? Why do we have to face the camera like this?
Yeah.
At one point, he's like, I like this title belt, and grabs the title belt, and then he just scoots CM Punk's shirt off the damn table. I'm like, my God, just little bits and pieces shows why I love Kevin Owens so much.
Well, and that's why they need to push him to me more than they are.
Yeah, he should have won this match.
It's just unreal what he's doing. And that's why I said, so some of the reasoning behind some of this stuff, this was the perfect time for KO to beat these guys.
And then it's the perfect time. Speed. Okay. So
I don't get all these YouTube guys.
Listener over here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Logan Paul is a YouTuber. Let's say that in very air quotes, because he is not a nice person. I could already tell you this right now. If I met him, he would probably be kind of a douche. As long as the cameras are off. If the cameras were on, he was probably being, a nice dude. But, iShow Speed literally got a robot and tried to have sex with it, in one of his streams. And you have him at WrestleMania in the prime bottle.
Well, not only at WrestleMania, but during the draft, they announced some of the picks, him and Logan Paul did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what is going on here where we have to have these YouTubers now involved in everything? Because I was talking to my kids about this sketch guy. I don't know if you've seen. He's I think he's a TikTok guy, but he did the What's Up Brother that everybody's doing now with the special teams, special players stuff.
Oh, but it's, I don't know.
He plays Madden, I know, on online. He streams. But
yeah.
I saw him at the NFL draft. He was announcing stuff at the draft. I'm like, what are we doing today? These kids that, I mean, essentially Sketch, what I've seen in part of his YouTubes or his streams is he throws stuff around his room, like when he doesn't score something or,
yeah.
And I'm like, so this is the role models that we want on TV kids growing up is for
and
to
I,
watch
I, like,
the
I
guys throw stuff across their
point,
room.
There's a video where like on his stream where kids are watching it. He does like he opens up a FIFA pack or something, and he gets somebody's card, and then he fake looks like he's jizzing on himself essentially, and I'm like, how is that setting a good and like you're a PG company, and then you're having a dude that does shit where it's just like blatantly
well, this
for
advertising
adults.
Prime stuff all the time too. It's like whatever.
It's like. I wonder how much Logan Paul's given them money to like represent his Prime stuff.
Well, you know he's got to pay for that.
That's what I'm saying. It's not included in his contract. It has to be like a combination with Prime. So like he has to be paying them to like maybe they have something in his contract where it's like they do something with Prime in his stuff. It's part of the contract that he signed. Maybe, but you would still have to, he would take less money out of a contract or something for him to be with WWE for them to put that on his branding. Or at least that's what I'm thinking. But like, I just don't like him personally and I don't really care if he ever wrestles again. So many people.
Well, you know he's
going to
continue.
Well, because
now he's a damn WWE superstar, and he's got the title still. So the fallout from WrestleMania is for him is nothing because he's not on the card either.
Yeah, because he's probably not going to be on the card until like SummerSlam. He's probably going to come out and talk shit for like 4 months, and then Kevin Owens ain't going to get nowhere, and then.
It's like, okay, even he's kind of a part-timer and he's brand new to the industry, man.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
People, like, are way too high on him for no apparent reason.
And this match went 17 minutes and 40 seconds on the card.
Like, he takes good to, like, you are a decent wrestler, right? A decent wrestler. You're better than some people. But with the training that you're getting, of course you should be that good.
He's being trained
You're getting hand-held by people that are just like the best in the game.
You got to be able to take it in. So, I mean, he does have a skill level, but at the same time, it's like, does he deserve to be a champion like 6 months or however long it was since he started?
I mean, no. It's a joke. Anyway.
He had a damn championship match in his second match, I think, right? He faced Roman in his second match. So it's like,
that's what I'm like
nobody else gets that option.
That's what I'm saying. Like other people will be sitting in obscurity, which they should get a title match at least, and this motherfucker gets it in a second match just because of his name.
Other than that, I'm like Logan Paul won.
Which I was like, what, really?
But of course he had to use brass knuckles to get it again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm like, and then,
then the next match was Bayley against Io Sky. And again, going into this match, we knew what was going to happen with this one, too. The whole storyline was pointing that Bayley was going to win it.
Yeah.
So it was
mind you, this is her new ring theme, and it sucks. To me, like, it wasn't anything
It didn't sound much different than
her,
the previous
I
one.
I liked her previous one more.
Like, but it didn't sound much different than it.
Also, at the same time, Death Rumble sucks. I'm just I'm saying, like, they cannot make good ring themes when constantly at Royal Rumbles and shit like that, when they're talking about, you're waiting for the surprise, and then you're sitting there and you're like, who the fuck is this? Oh, that's who it is. When you're constantly doing that, then you're making shitty themes. And especially when every fucking person that you have ring themes for, they're saying their names before they're coming out, then you lost the plot when it comes to ring themes. It's supposed to fit
Well,
the
yeah.
character, and half of
Well, not
these
only
things
that,
don't fit.
it's funny, like what's changing now is you don't have a beginning to the song that makes the fans pop. Like
What?
the glass breaking for Austin made the fans know who was coming.
Yeah. And then
If you smell
it's
what
like,
the rock, if you smell was for the Rock. So when you heard that, you knew the Rock was coming out. The dong bell for Undertaker. Now
yeah.
it's like you just have music starting for
Yeah.
a lot of these
That's what
guys.
I'm saying. It's
And it's
like,
like, what?
Keith
There's
Lee's
nothing
was
like.
like great. I'm like, it's like certain people, like CFOs did a really good job on ring themes, man. They put out some bangers that was different, like they were actual songs for that fit each character that was coming out. Like every single character. Like Sasha Banks, Charlotte, all of them had specific ones that fit their character the whole time. All these other theme songs that are coming out, you don't really care about it because, and it hurts the character, the wrestlers too, because if you can't resonate with the theme song, then you can't resonate with the wrestler, right? Like I've thought that Miz needed to change his ring theme for years now. Same with Dolph Ziggler, and now Dolph Ziggler's gone, but certain people should have changed their theme song. It's kind of funny how Sheamus went back to his old theme song too, which I'm totally fine with. He's had plenty of bangers when it comes to his themes too. It's like him, Randy Orton, like both of them, like they've never had a bad like ring theme. But like, it's like Death Rebel just fucking lost the plot, and I don't know why WWE still like puts them as their music people, because I
Well, they
mean
probably have a contract with them or something for so many songs,
probably, but that's what I'm
but
saying. Bayley came out, and I was like, "Ooh, I'm wondering how it sounds like." And then, oh, and mind you, even AJ Styles' theme, they changed his theme to fit with his darker like heel character, and I was waiting to get the same vibe, and then I didn't really care for it. Like,
well, they don't sound much to me. They don't sound much different than the previous one.
they
That's why I'm
just
like,
sound the same. Yeah,
that's what I'm
like,
saying. I mean, because people said it was new, and I'm like, okay, how different is it? Because it doesn't sound much different. There
yeah, it
must be a
doesn't sound
slight
like anything
key
really
change or
different.
something.
Yeah,
But yeah,
like
I mean, regardless of that, we knew Bayley was going to win the match, so it was like,
yeah, so I
okay.
was
And
like, okay. I
then
thought
again.
the Egyptian shit that she went for like her entrance was cool, but
But
like the
then
match
again,
was okay.
like with the fallout from, like I was talking about, with fallout from Raw or fallout from WrestleMania, what's happened since? And I said it earlier in the podcast was that Bayley at Backlash, Bayley is now going to face off against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton for the belt.
Which already pushing Tiffany Stratton out there, which is like,
So I'm
wow.
like, but where did that come from again? She just faced off against Io Sky, and her next feud is with people she's never feuded with.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't face off at WrestleMania. That actually Naomi and them faced off against people she broke away from.
Yeah.
So it's like Naomi, honestly, when you look at it that way, it doesn't make any sense for her to face off against first because
Yeah,
that she's in the
I
same boat
get
as
it.
Bayley. So, and Tiffany Stratton really makes a little bit more sense because she's not really tied into either one of them. So
Yeah.
she could have just done something to Bayley since. But I mean, but again, that's where my issue with the Backlash card that we'll be watching this weekend comes from. So then, I mean, again, that match went 14 minutes and 20 seconds. It was just a normal match for me. I'm a fan of Io Sky. I always have been.
Yeah.
I think her reign, because of just timing, was shorter than it should have been. I mean, even though it was quite long, or long in
it was like 6 months or something like that.
But it should have been longer to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, because I've always loved Io Sky anyway.
But in a big contrast, the next match, which was the final match of the WrestleMania card, was Cody Rhodes facing off against Roman.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. And took six people or whatever to finally have it happen. But Roman Reigns finally lost. And it was still a boring-ass match up until the last 10 minutes.
It was 33 minutes and 25 seconds. And again, if they do count the time Roman walks to the ring, it probably wasn't that long of a match. But at the same time, what happened in the match, for the most part, made a lot of sense. Like, at the end, they pretty much... So, at the end, the Bloodline comes in to help Roman. Well, then Cody had to have helpers. So it was essentially opponents of either the Bloodline at the time or Roman or even The Rock. So, like, we had The Shield come out, which The Shield was Seth Rollins. Everybody was thinking it might have been John Moxley or Dean Ambrose at the time.
I was like, you actually think that he was going to show up? Like,
but
he was contracted through AEW. Why would you think that he would show up? Even if it was for a one-off, which how much of a problem Tony Khan has with WWE, which is fucking stupid. I'm tired of the WWE versus AEW shit. WWE's
already proven that they're way above. There's no, I don't even think WWE worries about AEW. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At this point,
like,
in there,
Tony Khan is being stupid, calling out every jab that's happening.
He is, but I don't think that, well, you know, like Tony Storm calling out what happens at the end of this pay-per-view.
Yeah,
but hold on, we'll get to it. But I just wanted to first. Who was the first one to come out? Was it Solo? Solo came out first, right?
No, to help. Jimmy came out first.
That's right. Jimmy came out first,
and then Jay came out and speared him off the fucking top of the damn ramp.
So that was the first.
Fuck.
So again, this was the tie-in. So it made perfect sense that Jimmy came out to help Roman. Well, then Jay came out because they had fought on night one. So this made perfect sense that Jay would come out to go to get Jimmy. Well, then the next one,
Solo.
Well, then John Cena came out, which again made perfect sense because John Cena faced off against Solo
and lost.
I think,
and
lost on, I don't remember what pay per view it was.
I think it was like, it wasn't SummerSlam. But it was one of their offshoot ones. It was like around the time when the SAG-AFTRA strike was on. Last pay-per-views he was on.
Like Josh had pointed out, The Rock comes out next, which The Rock and Cena had two WrestleMania matches that we went to either one or both of them.
We went to the second one.
Yeah.
We went to the one at WrestleMania 29.
At New York, right?
Yeah, the second one where it wasn't for the title, I think.
So that, again, made perfect sense that The Rock would come out after Cena did. So this was all tying in opponents.
And that's why a lot of people were thinking that the rumor
The last one was Austin, I think, was going. I don't think they were able to get him. Like, there must have been negotiation problems because then The Undertaker came out. Which everybody was like, why The Undertaker? But again, Attitude Era, they faced off against each other. So that was like the secondary one. Austin made the most sense.
Yeah, but if they couldn't get him, they couldn't get him.
The other one that they could have went after, but the problem is they were like tag team partners, was Mankind. like Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been another one. But because that was more when Rock was face, and Rock obviously was a heel in this. But so that's what happened at the end. And because of all this, Undertaker got chokeslammed. And what we thought was funny was that after this happened, the Rock was gone. Yeah. He was like nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, he like vanished. Yeah, like the lights cut out and then he was gone.
So unlike everybody else that was like speared or hit, they were still around. But Rock was gone.
And it was funny. Roman then took like 7 damn crossroads.
Oh, he did. Like, well, that was customary. Every time that he always takes multiple finishers before, but he always normally won. But in this case, he lost. Well, then afterwards, and that's where we can talk about it, right? I think that's where you were heading, was that afterwards, Cody he had his celebration, right?
Yeah.
And so he called out to have Triple H come to the ring, right? And then basically say, you know, talk about what was happening, you know.
He was saying that he would have never came back if it wasn't for Bruce Prichard and Triple H.
Triple H, right?
Because I'm sure that he probably talked to both of them. He probably ended up having issues with probably Kevin Dunn and Vince and stuff, and that's probably one of the reasons why he left. But, I talked about this before. Tony Khan made a major mistake getting rid of fucking Cody.
Oh, by far.
He made the dumbest fucking mistake because he could have been his top guy. And literally once that happened, it was like a dam broke. And I think anybody that's not tied down to a contract is going to want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because, any WWE guy, if they were like Tony Storm, I could see if they got rid of Charlotte, she would go back. Certain people. Like Tony Storm.
But like, that was part of what we're talking about with the digs, right? Was Tony Storm cutting.
Yeah, she cut a promo where she was literally talking shit about Cody, not saying, oh, Tony, come out here. And I was like, I think she was just doing it to piss people off.
Well, she's doing it because she's a heel right now.
But yeah.
The fact that they're resorting to that stuff.
Yeah.
WWE doesn't care. I can tell you right now, they don't give a shit. Right now, AEW, and no offense, I like somewhat the product. There's a Dynamite that's going to be coming to where I live, like in, 12 days. I think it's on the 15th. It's Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays from now, right?
Yeah.
I could still get front row seats to that TV show.
Yeah.
If I tried to do that for a WWE show, not going to happen.
It would be sold out, yeah.
It's not going to happen. Not 2 weeks before the show. There ain't no way in hell. And the fact that you can go and you can buy seats. And there's a pay-per-view, I think. Wrestle Dream's coming back here again.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in Tacoma, so a little further south from where I'm at. But it's coming back here again. The last time I went, I got front row seats to that one like 2 days before the show.
Damn.
To a pay-per-view, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the hell? I mean, people were like, you got seats that close? I said, yeah. I mean, so it tells you the difference. You think WWE is worried about them? No.
No.
WCW was actually doing way better than them at this point in their life cycle AEW
is. Also, at the same time, I think WCW was a higher company than they were because they were around a lot longer.
Yeah, but at the same time, what I'm saying is you know.
I mean, they're just hurting themselves.
But this match went 33 minutes, but most of it wasn't wrestling, like most of Roman's matches. Just like night one where we talked about 44 minutes, most of it was not wrestling.
Yeah.
So
that's why it's good knowing that he finally lost it.
And like we said it earlier, Cody Rhodes at Backlash is facing off against frickin' AJ Styles.
Styles is losing.
Well, yeah. But I mean, point being is, why are they facing off? And, you know, it's like, so it's like, this is how your title reign is already starting, where you're facing off against what?
People that don't matter. I'm like, I shouldn't say don't
matter. You should do more before you get a title shot.
Yeah. AJ Styles is great, right? But like, I don't want to see him in a match where I know he's gonna lose. Like, it's why am I gonna get intrigued with the match if I know that they're gonna lose? That's why I kind of shit on it a lot of the time with this stuff, is because it's nice knowing they get the match, but it's like, if you know that they're gonna lose, why are you gonna get behind them? You know, like, at least with certain people, when it was like Daniel Bryan being in a match with somebody or something, you're like, the illusionary wall that usually goes up where you just, or like the wall that you think where no matter what, they're gonna lose, and then you start to blur the line between like, oh, maybe they are gonna do it, maybe he will win or something. That's what makes the matches good. But like most of them never are like that. Like usually they just feed them opponents to like pad out their reign. And that's what AJ is. I mean, granted, Kevin Owens was like three of them for Roman. Like was in three of the pay-per-views, and he lost every single time that it was Randy Orton, and it was millions of
Well,
fucking
the thing
people for
is, the
Roman.
problem is you know, based on all the build up to this, Cody's going to keep the title for a good amount of time. That's
Oh
the
yeah.
other unfortunate
Well,
part about
supposedly they
watching all
said
this.
that his rumor was like they were gonna at least have him until next year
Well,
with
that's what I'm saying,
Rock and
though. I mean,
stuff.
you know, so any match he has, you know the result of it,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
And that hurts the thing anyway.
Yeah,
Like
and that's.
that's why they should do.
I would almost like these titles to go a couple of months and then you got back and forth because it's not like he can't lose it. And then with the fact that they've got a premium live event every month, they could do that. They could even freaking have him win or lose it on Raw too, or
Yeah.
well,
Which
he's a
they
SmackDown
never
guy,
do. Yeah.
so it'll be on SmackDown. They don't do it, but why not?
Yeah.
When you've got a premium live event every month, you could have a title change in
Like
the middle
whenever
of a
you wanted
cycle,
to, yeah. Yeah.
and then it would throw everything off
Or
of what people are expecting too. But I mean, that's all I've got to really say about WrestleMania. I don't know about
yeah.
you, but
Yeah. Pretty much like that's all I was thinking about. I mean,
like I said at the
generally
beginning,
one
it
of the
was the
better
best WrestleManias, yeah,
one of the
that we've
better
seen
WrestleManias that I've seen, like compared
in a
to at
while.
least in the past like 10 years, one of the better ones. So I mean, and I always like WrestleManias where like at least I can enjoy the wrestling even if I know that the match is a certain way and stuff like that. Like certain ones, like I know the ending. And I can't, like, I don't like to rate things and stuff like that. I just say if I like it or if I don't like it or if it's boring or whatever, just my thoughts on it. That's pretty much what I care about. Like, I don't feel like, especially star ratings, fuck star ratings. Star ratings don't matter if you don't remember the match, really,
Well,
at
and
the
that's
end
why
of the
we
day.
point off. Point out the things I think like we talk about. Like when I mentioned Jey Uso and Jimmy, I don't remember. And
Yeah.
LA Knight and AJ Styles, I don't remember any of the matches or any of the match for both of those. I don't.
Yeah.
And that tells you that the star rating for me for both of those is fairly low.
Well, that's
The fact that I
I
don't remember
understand that,
anything
but
from
I
it.
don't
But
think it
anyways.
was a but like
Well,
what
I'm not
like
saying it was a bad match. What I'm saying is it wasn't there wasn't memorable things
rememberable, yeah.
about it.
Well,
So I
that's
mean,
what I'm saying, it's like certain things that I remember
but
out
again,
of it.
part of that is because they were short. I mean, when you're talking
Yeah.
about a 4 hour, a 3.5 hour pay-per-view or whatever, 2 nights in a row, and the match was 8 minutes long. I mean, it's not going to be,
Yeah, I agree.
too memorable, or 11 minutes even. So anyhow, but.
But anyway, well, so pretty much the next pay-per-view is Dynasty that we're doing, and then
Yeah, we'll be
what's
talking about
going,
Dynasty
and
and then
then after
Backlash will be
that,
the one after
Backlash,
that.
which I'm not looking forward to Backlash. I think it's gonna be kind of boring, but you never know. I mean, I thought I was gonna hate most of this WrestleMania, and I actually liked it more than I expected. So,
Well,
like,
and so the one we'll be talking about next is AEW Dynasty. And if you guys haven't liked and subscribed to our channel and you guys are here watching on the YouTube, we would love to have you guys, and you can hit that bell to get notified when our new videos come out, albeit the podcast that we're doing. like this one or Scream Creeps, or we'll be doing Morbid Instinct again for the first time in a while here soon. And then we've got Sci-Fi Graveyard, another episode of that coming out. And then Theater Junkies is spotty depending upon the movies that are coming out in the theaters.
We're going to do other movies, but then it's been too long.
And then obviously my live streams here are on Twitch and YouTube. You guys can check those out. And if you guys, you know, also want to check out our website, all of our content is at theheartofgeek.com. So all of our podcasts, all of our YouTube videos, everything you can look at in one place instead of going all over the place for stuff. All of our podcasts are out there too. If you want to listen to them just in audio format, you can do it there. But
thank you guys for joining, and we will talk to you guys in the next podcast.
Have a good night, day, all that good stuff, depending upon when you're listening.